This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Code Defenses.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are thrilled to welcome noted interior designer Suzanne Kasler to the table. Suzanne has a new book out called Inspired Interiors, and I think anybody who's read any of the major magazines or the blogs has been definitely inspired by her interiors. And Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us at the Skirted Roundtable.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited about all that's happening. I'm excited to share my book with everyone.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's really beautiful to look at and to read, which is nice. Usually when we have a guest, we wanted to start with you telling us about your background. Did you go to design school? How did you get into interior design? Was it a straight shot from growing up to design?
Well, I guess what I could say is that I only was influenced to go into interior design when I was in high school. A good friend was always loving architecture, and that influence helped me look into the University of Cincinnati. So I ended up going to the University of Cincinnati for interior design. But my growing up, I was telling everyone that I really grew up in the military, as a military Air Force child, and we traveled, really moving every 2 years. And what was funny, when people talk about, I did not spend my life moving furniture around or thinking that I was going to be a designer. But when I did end up in college going to design school, I immediately just kind of found my passion.
One thing I noticed I liked in the book is, right, the first sentence of the introduction is, I'm always looking. And do you think that, you know, as a child, were you just sort of someone who just noticed things, or did that grow as you sort of developed a passion for design?
I do think I was always very aware of everything going around in my surroundings, and maybe moving and traveling and changing homes so much, in a sense, gave me a different reference as to wanting to create and, you know, a lot of times I call a sense of place, and knowing that by moving that it's, you really can change. And I was always thinking that, you know, looking back, I thought more about it when looking back about how I grew up and how it did have an influence. But I think it gave me a lot of freedom in really interpreting. I always have an interpretation and try to have a fresh interpretation with a classic foundation as I do interiors.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I was reading about one of the things in your book was mentioning how having, based my own words, having good bones in a house just means so much. Do you have suggestions for people who possibly aren't blessed with a home that has really good architecture to begin with? Do you feel that do you have some great pointers for, you know, how to work within the confines of, you know, some of these builder houses that have been, that part of it has been overlooked, the detailing that you find in so many of these beautiful old homes?
Yes, I think, in fact, whenever I start on a project, I always ask my clients to, let's look at the architecture, and really, even if it is a new home, an old home, and really the key thing is to find one element in the room that can be kind of the focal point. And it could be a beautiful window, or it could be a fireplace. It might even be an entrance to another room. And oftentimes, I will ask them, I would say, let's accentuate that piece of architecture and have a real focal point in the room. So when you come into the room, it kind of anchors the space. Mm-hmm. And I think that even when you have, like you said, there's a lot of new homes, certainly a lot of builder homes, they're just kind of getting, you know, great spaces put together. So I really feel the most important thing to do in a room is to accentuate that background before you start layering.
Suzanne, first I want to say welcome. It's a personal thrill for me to have you on. I've admired your work for so many years. And
thank you.
I think what I really like about your work is your interiors, they're like a real mixture. You always bring in, well, you usually bring in contemporary artwork, you'll have antiques, you'll have contemporary lamps or accessories, and I like that about your work where it's not one set style for each job. Is that how you personally like to decorate? Do you like to do it piece by piece when you do a room, or define each piece accessory-wise, or like a key piece of antique furniture that you work around the room?
Well, what I like to do is really have a home or a room look collected. And I really want, I really try to help empower people and inspire them to have it be personal. I really want the room to end up being them when it's done. And one of the ways that that can happen is that maybe they have a family piece, and I can show them how, just using that piece, we can mix it in, and you kind of do a fresh interpretation. What I love about design today, there's so many fabulous things to find. And they do, and they're old, and they're vintage. And so I really am just always looking for pieces that kind of, you know, I just think are great looking. And I buy them, and I try to encourage my clients to buy them and not really think about where they're going. And if people do that, and even when I'm doing an installation, I'll gather up things in my mind. Maybe it's, you know, in my subconscious, but the key is to make a house be collective and have more personality. And I think it gives freedom to people to bring in their own things that are more personal.
Well, I think it really does. That collected aspect is what makes a room you do so interesting, because there'll always be a piece that, well, it's not quite expected. So I think that's what brings an interest. And another thing I've noticed is, a lot of times you will use the color, the opposite color, you know, on the color wheel in the same room. Is that a conscious thing you do, or?
Yes, it is. I talk to people about how you can sequence color in a house or in a room. And if you use the same value of the color, then you can use more than, you know, you can use many different colors. And so that is a very, you know, conscious decision that I try to help people, because I love how color can sequence you as a house, and you don't really always want the same color in each space.
I do think that is one thing that you are really masterful around, is your color. So many people who, you know of a designer because they're great with color and they're bold with color, think that that's what being masterful around color is. But you have this way of using these very subtle but dramatic tones together. And I think that's hard to do. And I loved, in one part of your book, you were talking about the fact that color is really made up of several different colors. And that's so true. And that's why you get that and you see that. And you mentioned how in the room, you'll bring out, you know, the subtleties, you know, an ochre maybe that's hidden in a pink somewhere, and you'll pull it out. And that's why it ends up, all these colors end up complementing each other and actually balancing, because they are having a dialogue amongst each other. And I think it's really tough for the average person to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why your work is really, truly so masterful. It ends up looking like a vintage painting in some areas.
And it always flows. I think the house always flows together, which is nice. When you are an interior designer of your caliber, you get houses. Do you ever accept just a room, or do you only accept entire houses?
Well, really, at this time in my career, I really work with people master planning a whole house. Now, sometimes we will master plan the house and phase in the rooms. But I kind of talk to people, it's very hard to do one room at a time, because one thing that happens with design is there is a sequencing. And, you know, it really starts when you come into a space, and sometimes you want it to be, you know, have a one look that might be building onto the next room. And so I really talk about that. Even when we're only starting, people like sometimes want to focus on one main room, but I talk to them about how we really need to master plan, because that will make a difference as you keep, you know, really collecting and designing your house.
Because so much of the design really is organic in that way. You don't just stop, the room's done.
I always try to give them places for them to kind of, and again, inspiring them, you know, there's maybe one place we don't put some art, and after I've shown them some things, people do like, you know, to bring in their own personal things to a space. And, you know, that is what I think why design is so meaningful to people, because it really makes you feel, when you come into a space that you relate to it, you feel good in it. And you look at things, I tell people, I don't even care the price of things. If you have a memory of collecting things, and that's why I do use that, what I call the high-low, it can be an expensive piece or an inexpensive object, but it might have some personal meaning, and it really does make the room have much more, it just makes it come alive. I just think it really makes design, you know, feel right for people.
Right in the middle of the book, there was talking about the progression of color, and I don't think these rooms are actually related, but the people who did the layout of the book, it's in the color section of the book starting on page 131, and there's a very pale room of greens and blues, and then on the next page, it's the same room with a different angle and shows sort of more layering. And then the next page, there's a dining area that had the blue is suddenly very vivid. And I just, when I was just reading the book, and the final page is this just brilliant turquoisey blue dining room. And even though I don't think they're not in the same house, but I think just whoever did the layout, it's a great example of how in the same house, if you had that kind of layering, the excitement that built, just for me going through these pages, and each page had, you know, a more focused version of the color of the page before, until you get to this, you know, exceptionally stunning
jewel box.
Yeah.
It's like a jewel box.
I mean, just dining room. That dining room. And then it just kind of there was a release on the next page. We went back to it was very soft.
Yeah. Well, I think that when Doug Turchin helped put the book together, and we both discussed that really we weren't going to do it just by a home or a house. We would do it by really concepts. And both Doug Turchin and the writer Christine Patel helped me take my design philosophy, and I love how they helped translate it into something really special. Mm-hmm. Because I do think in design, it's so great to, like you said, see the sequencing and really see what happens as color kind of can unfold, and the impact it has. Even what you're looking at, those first few pages is a beach house, but how you can mix some really kind of, you know, even those vintage bottles in the turquoise with this great printed fabric. And then you go into using that beautiful turquoise on the lacquered dining room.
Yeah.
How you can make it casual or dressy. I just love how, again, color has such an impact if you use it in different ways.
I'm so glad that you let people know, the readers know, where so many of these colors, in a lot of places you mentioned the paint color and the manufacturer, and I think that's, you don't see that often, and I'm glad that you did that, because I take notes the whole time.
Well, one of the things that I really love about being a designer, and really my philosophy has always been to share, mm-hmm. and we always laugh, because whenever there is something in a magazine, the most frequent questions we are always asked are the paint colors, mm-hmm. and we always give them all the colors that we know, because I think, again, it just helps build on itself, that whole sharing and feeling good, and it's really been part of what I love about design.
Well, a lot of designers don't like to share, that is for sure, so it is probably a virtue of your personality that you do. Getting back to what you said earlier, I think the readers, the listeners, can really take from what you said about planning a whole house at once.
Right.
And even if you can't afford to do it all at once, but I really think that might be a key to people that are listening, the difference between a house that looks conceptual or looks designed or decorated, you know, to think out doing everything so it flows, and there's a the word sequencing, you've used it four or five times, and which is really interesting to me, because I've never used that word in design, but it truly makes sense that the color sequences through the design, you know, does too. It's interesting.
And then one thing that I always really talk to clients about, especially when they're doing a master plan, you know, I really pick one great white color. And that is a color that I'll use throughout probably a lot of the house. Now, I may change it when I get to some of the kids' rooms, or maybe we go to another level of the house. But that is one key thing that I kind of look for, like a favorite white.
Do you have one?
I do have a couple of favorite whites. And I will say that I love Benjamin Moore, White Dove, and Benjamin Moore Linen White. And my other new favorite white has been Benjamin Moore Floral White, which has a little bit more gray in it. And then, so that has been kind of, in terms of, you know, using the whites, I have really I love starting from light. And I think that that is a key thing when you're starting on a house.
Yeah, that's interesting, because your rooms always seem so colorful to me, and I've really never noticed that the background might be predominantly white. It's interesting.
Yes, and that's when you start studying my work, and they were talking about it when we had one of our discussions, kind of as you take apart, you know, as you mentioned before, and I hadn't really thought about this before, but, you know, designers kind of are like, and it's way putting together a painting, you know, because you're layering. And so, again, I love how so much of my work has neutrals, and yet the visual that you get is color. And so a lot of it is how you use color, and then the impact it does have, mainly because of the way you use your, you know, you kind of do your whole palette of the background.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this would be a nice time for us to talk about individual rooms that the three of us particularly love.
Okay.
If that's all right.
That'd be great.
The beautiful pink dining room that's your own on page 19 of the book. I first saw this picture on Joni's blog last year sometime, and I put a picture of it on mine just like, oh my God, this is to die for. Because I've never thought of, I've recently just, you know, my inner pink. I did a whole blog post about painting my living room, dining room area pink, which I haven't done yet. And I actually used some of your pictures as examples of different pinks. And I hadn't ever thought of pairing it with a beige. And I just wanted to, change everything about my space because I saw this picture, and I still do every time I see it. So, you know, thanks for that.
Our room is absolutely beautiful.
I know. And I loved in the book that you talked about the drapes, how they have beige on the other side, and you figured start with the pink, and if I get bored, I can flip them around. That's a great point.
I know. It is. That whole dining room was inspired by that fabulous credenza I found at the Paris flea market. And when I found the piece, it's this great taupe with pink. And as you know, the French do pink things. They have the most beautiful colors of pink. And I have to say, pink has always been a favorite color, even though most people are never sure how to use it. So when I bought the console piece, and that was really the inspiration for the room. And I think that just starting with when it came into my dining room, you know, I used that kind of taupe color and painted the dining room. But I just was thinking how beautiful it would be to have pink taffeta curtains and drapery. Mm. So I did, like you said, I put the taupe silk on the other side in case it wasn't brave enough to leave them in the pink. And it was funny because the whole time they were left with that beautiful color of pink, and everyone responded to it and loved it. So that's kind of interesting. But as you see, I did not match the fabrics on the chair.
Right.
But I did bring in on the bench the gross ribbon detail, and then put a more contemporary fabric as a pillow. So I think it's so great to, again, mix the details and then have some things that just don't match at all.
I think this is a good example, though, of what you were saying, where within a color there are many colors. That sort of gold stripe that's on the dining room chairs is actually an element that is in that pink. It's not to someone who may not be able to see the breakdown of colors, which I don't think everyone can. That is an element that's in that pink. That's a warm pink, and there is that sort of kind of an ochre-y golden color that runs through it. And that's why that works. As around the credenza as well, you've got the gold.
Right.
Right. And see, that was interesting when I took that fabric in. The credenza has the gold detailing. And I do love, again, mixing metals, gold and silver. And I just love mixing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do have to say about this dining room, it was one of the first rooms I featured on my blog 2.5 years ago. And what I did is I had loved this room so much, and I took it to a client. We were developing an idea for her living room. And I said, let's use pink. You have blonde hair. You have blue eyes. You look gorgeous in pink. Look how gorgeous this room is. And we really worked around, and it ended up, well, we had green curtains, but we did bring in pink in the room. It was a pink and green room, which sounds terrible, right, but it's not. It's beautiful. And just from the inspiration of these drapes. I love the linen skirted table. I love that.
Of course we'd like that.
Well, I love how simple it is. I love that with these very luxe, you know, using the fabric on the curtains and all these pieces that are gilded, and then you have this very simple linen.
Well, it's the dressing down. It's the dressing down part of the room that I always try to bring in, and it's just a natural burlap linen, and I didn't do any other detail on it. And then the one thing that I love in the room the most, other thing, is my Johnson chandelier, which, yeah, you know, that piece is the best piece in the room and my favorite thing. And I've always loved the Johnson pieces. And so then to have that combination, it has been exciting how that kind of unfolded.
Now, I thought it was interesting about that chandelier is that it looks like the ceiling cap is actually dropped from the ceiling. So is that true, or is that, could it have been mounted flush to the ceiling? You just wanted it lower.
No, it is true, because that cap was part of, you know, the original fixture.
Yeah.
And in this particular house, it was, the ceilings were 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Now, I did just recently move into a new house, and the ceilings are not quite as tall. And so the cap, you know, see, it's really part of the fixture. Now, sometimes you could retrofit it to separate them, but a lot of times I like just keeping things, you know, with, they're not always as perfect. And yeah, I do think there's sometimes an interest about that.
There is, and that's why I wanted to point it out, because it was not what you would normally often see, and I thought it would be good for people to see that.
I love that. Linda, yeah. I did not notice that, and I love that it, now that I'm looking at it, how it just becomes this floating, sparkling,
yeah,
piece of jewelry in the middle of this room. And I noticed that you prefer your light bulbs not to be clear.
Yes.
We had a discussion about this.
Come on.
So always ordering cases of silk light bulbs to take on our job installations.
Now, there's silk light bulbs? Because those aren't totally frosted, they don't look. They look like they're a little translucent.
They're silk wrapped, and so that is a great way to order silk wrapped light bulbs, and it's a great detail, and it gives off a much softer light.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
All right, Joni. All right.
It's all about the details.
Y'all, notice the sconce in that room. That is so interesting. Under the painting?
Yeah, what is that?
It's mercury glass.
Oh.
And it's silver. And again, it I found those beautiful. They look, again, like pieces of jewelry. And they give a beautiful light. And, of course, when I found them, we didn't have sconces on the wall. I'm always having the electricians adding different light boxes here and there with things that I find. And I always tell my clients, it is not hard to add light outlets and, you know, even move a wall over here or there, and just not to be afraid of that.
Yeah.
They are so afraid of putting a sconce in a wall, clients. I'm the same way. I'm always like, it will take an electrician an hour.
Right.
You know, don't worry about it. It's not even expensive. Yeah.
And it's not hard to fix.
That lighting makes such a difference in a room, just, you know, not having different sources and lower light and, you know, all the different values of light makes such a big difference.
The chairs are gorgeous, y'all. Look at the feet on those chairs.
Yeah.
gorgeous.
Okay, so Megan, what room did you want to talk
about? So the room, actually, it's the entire house. I love this, the house in Tennessee, the country house.
What page?
174. Well, that's one of, I mean, the whole house is beautiful.
The log cabin.
Yes. Tell me, is the house, how old is the house?
Well, my client, these are the owners at Blackberry Farm, and they basically put together a log cabin they found log houses, and they brought all the old antique wood. They designed a new house, a new floor plan, but with all old pieces of the wood.
Oh, that's great.
And so it really, the thing that I think is so special about the house, it was their main house, and so showing how you can do such a casual, textured, basically log room with really fabulous, beautiful antique
style.
Yes, all the beautiful English pieces, and the cartouche on the wall is just spectacular. It's really, I think it was from the 1800s. I mean, it's just those kind of pieces. I just love the combination again of that rustic and elegance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really responded to that layering, because you know, you think so many times when you see log cabins or homes that they're just done in that more rustic style, and yeah, this was a way to, I mean, it really turned out, I think, so
beautiful. I think it's so beautiful, and that's exactly, I'm always looking at pictures. People will have, you know, a home in Aspen or Sun Valley or something. And they always seem to be, to me, almost hokey, because they seem really themed and, you know, they need to, I don't know. But this here, you've incorporated an antler chandelier, which is beautiful in the way that you've done it. And mixing it with all these pieces, the coffee tables, which are more almost like Joni was talking about last week on her show. They're less low coffee tables, and they are almost like tea tables, and it's beautiful. And I love the mix of these very fine gold bamboo frame with surrounded by all this rough hewn pieces. I just think that it's just beautiful. That apple green on the sofa is stunning.
Velvet, and then the sisal, the rug, the room is pulled together by a huge sisal rug, and then we did layering. And one thing that's really interesting about this room, the client who is so great with design, she literally did a summer look, and she slip covered everything in white.
Hmm.
Beautiful.
Joni.
To die for.
Yeah.
Even all the rugs changed out. And it is such a great concept, and a very, not that expensive of a concept after you really, once you get the main pieces done. And it was really an interesting transformation.
Is the room on, there's a child room on page 182. Is that part of the same house?
That's at the beach house. That is, we did a boys room at the beach house. And the interesting thing about that room was I asked the contractor just to put number 2 grade pine on the walls and just stain it. And they were all upset about it because they said it looked so terrible. And I said, no. And then I wanted them to paint all the trim white.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when we got it all done, it was like everyone's favorite room. And I said, don't worry, the room, I just want it to not look again that perfect. And it really is a great way you can, I have done this design detail in rooms that are existing houses, because it's really reasonably priced to do a number 2 grade pine.
And you really did capture, you mentioned that it feels like a vintage Chris Craft. It really does. I mean, the whole room, even that light fixture that's hanging above the bed on page 184. I mean, we're switching gears here because I love that room as well. But these wood,
that's the same room.
That's the same room, isn't it?
No, I know. But I mean, I've moved on from back to my house that I was loving initially. I can't help it. I'm all over the place on this. Okay. I do love that. I think that is such a great inspiration, that room, for even a young boys' room. I mean, it's so great. That cabinet, it's wonderful. And I love that, and I'll mention this, and then Joni, you can go on. you seem to have in all of your rooms really great art, like serious great art, and it's of all different, you know, some of it is modern, and some of it is, some of it's vintage, some of it, so I love that you, in your homes, you obviously have a wonderful grasp of art history and collecting art. Is that mostly your, are you picking it, or do you, is it generally the client?
I usually try to have some help of picking the art. Art is very personal, and a lot of people have their own collections. But I like these pieces are vintage batik pieces that I found again a flea market. But then I do love to mix in the fashion details, and I have the Hermes blankets in this room, and I think that I always love mixing those things in with it. And I just love, again, you've got the fabulous, really obviously expensive Hermes blankets, you know, just cotton, white cotton duck on the bedding.
And the rug, that rug you probably had made, and it's made of, are they made of Indian blankets? What are those? It's a patchwork.
Well, I just found the rug, again, just a found object. But one thing I do kind of, when I find something, I will buy things and I'm not sure where I'm going to put them. And this rug, we just found, it was just, you know, I just found it at a rug place, and not knowing exactly where I would even use it. And it is really, it was, again, everyone's favorite piece.
Mm-hmm. With that drafting stool on top of it. It's great. Well, I would love to see your storage space. I'd have a good time in there.
Okay, my room, I have two, but the first one is your family room in your former house on page 20 and 21.
Yes.
Gorgeous. I mean, it is so stunning in its eclecticism, and just, I think the table, the console with the zebra and the horns, and underneath this gorgeous centuries-old tapestry.
Mm. Yes, I guess the start of this room really was that fabulous tapestry, and again, I was at the Paris flea market, and it was folded on a chair. And it was one of those tapestries that I just opened it up and loved it. And, you know, as we all love textiles and, you know, beautiful tones, this one in particular for me was just like the most beautiful piece. And so I had them folded up, and I don't know if you've all been to the Paris flea market, and I carried it home. I had to buy a little roller suitcase, and I actually just took it on the plane with me. I was just so determined that it was going to make sure it got home with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things about this room I think is most interesting, and it kind of goes back to the question you had on, we had built this house kind of we'd moved to Atlanta, my husband and I. He was transferred with Steelcase. And so John and I had built a house in it, and it was not a spec house, but, you know, we designed it with some really good architects, Fitzwill and Norris, but this wall had a huge window with a big arch top. And for every year, I would move the furniture around, and I could never get the room anchored. And the room has two openings, a fireplace, and it had this huge window, because you can imagine the four walls. Mm-hmm. Finally, one day, after I brought home the tapestry, I decided to wall up the window. Hmm. You know, the room already had two French doors. It had a huge opening to my living room, and it had four French doors. A big opening to the kitchen, which also had fabulous natural light. And that's where we always laugh, because my husband, who is always so supportive, I said one day, I said, I just have to wall up this. I just need a wall, one wall in the house. And that's one thing I always work with clients when we're master planning houses. We do need a few walls. And when it was done, the entire room kind of started settling in. And then look how fabulous this entire collection really gave interest and such a cozy, a warmth to this whole space. So I always think that's such a funny story. And even the architects, who are good friends, when they saw the room, they you know, they did laugh. And that's a lot for an architect to conceive.
I think it's a great point that you're making, is today builders put in too many windows. And for the light?
Well, they always people always want natural light or the view out. But there is such a thing as having a room that has a place for all of your collections.
Builders aren't thinking about the interior designers, as we've talked about before. they do the windows, they do everything, and this is the farthest thing from their mind, what it's going to look like once, you know, it's been put together.
Right. So it is, tell people.
Did you wall up a beautiful view, though?
Well, you know, our house was up kind of on a hill. And again, that we have two big windows in that room, and so you still have a great view. So, and again, most people might not have walled up the window, but I just kept moving my tapestry that was so fabulous and big, there wasn't anywhere else to put it.
One thing I think that this room is, you know, really notable about this room is the mixture of woods and finishes. And that's certainly a question we all get is, you know, how do you mix different woods, different finishes? And this has, you know, 6-7 styles, periods, woods, finishes.
And they all work.
Yeah, they all work. And how do you do it? A couple of words, a little bit of advice on that for people.
You know, I, again, when you look at as you start taking it apart individually, you know, the table is more modern. So it kind of can be the black. And then I really, when you start looking at that cognac color of the side tables, again, that beautiful, that fabulous orange leather chair, again, I found at the flea market. And at the time I found that orange leather chair at really as is, you know, orange was not a color other than I do, of course, we all love the Hermes orange, but I hadn't really thought about it going in my house, which, as you know, I love, you know, pinks and blues. And that chair has really ended up looking fabulous everywhere. And yet, when you look at the room, you can see how that orange leather almost relates more to the side table.
Yeah.
And then a good friend gave me
the
big lacquered orange tray. So, you know, when you start looking at how all these components put together, but again, I put together things in this room that were favorite pieces.
And they all have, there's a balance though, like you said, if we were to deconstruct this mathematically, well, if you were to deconstruct it mathematically, you know, you do see, if you simplified it and just, you know, did it by color, there's definitely the balance there.
Yeah, composition. And I guess that is what makes, you know, all of us in design, you know, that's, like you said, part of what we do is helping, you know, put compositions together. And I always talk about the layering. And I think that's so important because some people stop before, you know, there's a part of editing and a part of layering. And it's important to go with enough layers and then not to overdo it.
I was going to say, the room is so sophisticated. It's amazing. And I mean, notice the little lilac or lavender vase mixed with the Hermes orange and how perfect it is. And also notice the silk pillows. They're lighter than the cognac, but it's just so gorgeous.
Are those Spitzmiller lamps?
Yes. And I love the Christopher Spitzmiller lamps. They and I try to use those in every project, and these were as is, you know, just sitting at the showroom. And that color was just so interesting
he's my favorite.
Yeah, he just has, I think that, again, they have that freshness, but very classic. And then if you're mixing in, especially when you're mixing in some antique pieces, it just gives a great balance. But the other piece, probably the favorite piece in my house that gets the most comments,
the sconces,
is the zebra
table.
And it's so funny because that piece, again, you know, I use it. I love mixing it in with all of the dressy French pieces. And at the same time, I bought the zebra console from one of the showrooms. The day I saw it, it had just come in on the shipment. And I knew I had to have it picked up that very day because it was one of those pieces that was so unique. And they told me that they think it came from maybe the estate of like Van Cleef or someone in Paris. They bought some pieces from an estate. It was from Dottie Travis had been over. And at the same time, I bought those fabulous sconces. I think they were all from the same place because they just, again, are very chic. They're with that really gold. And again, I added the sconces. I added the electrical because they give this great light behind it that's very, very subtle and really, really, very chic.
Well, there's something very sort of Caesar-like, you know, the yes, laurel wreath about them.
That's the laurel, just, right. Yeah. I think I love that your side tables are high. You don't see that very often, and I'm sure the light's on. It's the perfect height for that light, and you've got a lower table that's, you know, more like if you were to use it if you're sitting visiting with friends. I mean, there's your coffee table sort of thing. But I love the height of those tables on either side of that sofa. It really, it creates,
it, it gives a presence.
Yes, it gives the sofa a strength amongst all the other pieces.
Yes, this is a room that you're walking into. Again, as I mentioned, there's an opening behind the sofa, an opening kind of where you're coming in, looking where you're looking right now. And one of the challenges, if you keep everything, again, it's that same thing of the same low, like the coffee table, then you end up, you know, because in terms of creating that whole comfortable space feel. So there is kind of all that, like you said, this kind of layering and dimension that happens in a room that sometimes we don't always even know that we're doing.
Well, one last thing about the room that I just want to point out to the listeners is next to the French chair, you have this wonderfully simple X-shaped contemporary lamp. And I love that lamp.
Yes. In fact, I love that lamp. It's a vintage piece, which I actually did end up making for my collection of lighting. And
I love, by the way.
I love that piece because it just, again, was, it just, when I saw the piece, it just was something I really responded to. And that's what I always just encourage people, you know, as they see things and they can start collecting. And then it's interesting how it finds a place in your own home.
Suzanne, for the listeners, I want you to talk about the dining room on page 126 through the next page, 128. I think this is maybe one of the most popular dining rooms on the blogosphere. I think at one time or another, every blog has featured this dining room on it.
I did, and that was in my pink.
Oh, I did too.
I believe I did too.
My inner pink extravaganza.
Well, so tell us about it.
Well, this was a house in Sea Island, and this was a house that started out going to be a second home for my clients, and they ended up moving there full time. And so we renovated a very contemporary house. So it was a renovation. And what you're looking at is this dining room wall. There's just, you can see it more on the next page. You're coming through this kind of arched opening into this dining room that the ceiling is really low. I think it was maybe only 8'6". But when you go to the side of the dining room, it opens into a two-story space. So my client, that client loves pink, and we had picked out the draperies in the living room with the great big pink flowers. And they are on another page in the book, even though I'm not sure.
Oh, I know which one. I saw
that. And there's
that.
A chair with a pillow that matches that. Yes. Is the fabric. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so, interesting.
So the room really started with, you know, and if you look at that room, it's all sisal and linens. They're all neutrals. And we really worked, the architect and I worked on, you know, just really making the house, it was real contemporary, making it more just kind of West Indies, just kind of more classic, and adding these beautiful big mahogany windows. And that fabric in that other room had the great big, it was cream with those pink flowers. So when I was looking at the dining room wall, I kept thinking, I really want to paint it that raspberry pink. Now, when you can imagine, when I painted it, everyone called. And they were not calling, and they were like, what in the world? Because you know how the room is painted before anything else goes in.
Right.
And it was just very funny because I said, just wait, we can always repaint the wall.
Yeah.
And it ends up, again, being this beautiful accent. And because that dining room, you see it from so many other spaces from far away, the dining room is the one room you really can get away with doing fabulous color. And you see that in another couple of my places because, you know, that's a room you look at, you're walking by, and you really can use stronger colors, and it can be so fabulous.
And page 143 is the page with, I believe, that you were talking about with the enormous roses on the cream-colored background.
Suzanne, a question I've always had is, on one picture, the color is much more vibrant than the other photograph. Which is more true to life, do you think?
It is really the first picture. It's very, really a dark raspberry pink.
Good. I like that one better.
Is that a wallpaper? What is it that you have?
A paint.
On the panel, but it is a painting.
Oh, that is an antique screen.
A screen, okay.
It is a beautiful
panel. I see it seamed.
And it was so unusual in its coloring, and just to have it as that art piece, I think that really tied back all of those gorgeous colors that are so neutral. Everything in the whole house, the rest of it is all sisals and that those kind of neutral linens. And again, with the beautiful dining room table in the dark, with the just the whitewashed chairs with the raffia. I just like that mixing high and low.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that kind of makes, and in the strong color pink, it really was, it makes everyone love that space. And again, the client was receptive because she loves flowers and was willing to take a chance on using that very fun color.
I think we're coming to the end of our time. I know. It happens every time. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us. This was, it was really fascinating to hear you talk, you know, about each of these rooms and the details and the thought process. I think our listeners,
I feel like we're so lucky because of our designers that come on are so willing to be generous with their ideas.
Yeah.
And I feel like you absolutely were so generous. So thank you so much.
Well, I'm not ready yet. I've learned so much today about these rooms that I've loved for years, and I would like to know about all of them, you know, the story behind them.
Well, you can always call me anytime.
Okay.
And always will share, because I really want to say how much I appreciate so much all that you have all done, you know, sharing all these great ideas. I think what design does for people, it just, again, can really help change their lives and make them feel better about really themselves. And that's what I love about design.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Coat to Texas. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. And this week we were joined by noted interior designer Suzanne Kassler. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com. or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. We always appreciate all your comments and emails. Thank you so much, and we'll be back soon.